Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Yo, break it down. This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the failed Homo sapien.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the actual factual.
Legend alert. Legend alert.
I like that.
We've got a legend on the podcast.
We do.
We should have like a siren thing.
Jamaicans like call it a siren.
Is that right?
Yeah. Listen to Damian Marley. He says siren. Yeah, bruv. Siren.
Okay, so we need a siren for a legend because we got Michael Parkinson on the Breaking Atoms podcast. Thank you for arranging that. I think he doesn't do too many interviews, but I think we both felt it was very important for him to have a platform to share his perspective, his craft, and for us to highlight that. It's very important to highlight people who've contributed so much to the music here in this country. And to hip hop in general too, so I quite enjoyed that, bro.
Yeah.
We had some football talk, we had some rappers talk, producer talk, delved into the history, got some life gems like that. That's why we have to have people like Parky on the podcast, because you'll get that real range.
I think, you know, we live in a time podcasting Clubhouse. There's so many different opportunities to talk. And then we get into this thing of just talking, and we just want to talk to talk. But I really enjoyed just listening.
Yeah.
In that episode, I really enjoyed listening. A world-weary veteran with a wealth of experience.
Yes.
Is who Michael agreed. Parkinson is. And I love that guy for what he's done, not just for me, but for the culture. He's got a heart for the culture.
Yeah, for a lot of other people. So, and for himself and his family. So, you know, it should be salute. So I'm really glad that we had him, and we'll at some point in the future we'll have him back again, definitely, because I think his voice is very necessary. But you know, thank you very much for setting up. This is Michael Parkinson, Breaking Atoms podcast. Check it out. It's another special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast. We're joined by UK hip hop royalty. I don't say that lightly, but someone who's been, listen, man, contributions to the culture outweigh many. And I say here talking about I'm a blog OG and all this, you know, I'm a this and that and the other. I'm a nobody compared to this man, and someone who's put so much work in and has affected so many others around him and put out consistent work and is known for putting out quality music. We're talking to none other than Michael
Thank
Parkinson.
You, bro. That's
Michael,
how you doing, brother? That felt better than the Drink Champs intro there, man. Shit. Like, bro. Yeah. Oh, bro. Like,
listen,
thank you,
we
man.
We don't play games, bro. It's yeah, you. It's Parky.
It has to happen, bro. And not for nothing. That's not written. That's just off what comes over here. And so what this platform is, and Chris, you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but this platform is about celebrating people that we love, people have contributed, legends, future legends, and the ecosystem of the culture. And you're a big part of that. And what we want to do is just highlight that, because, you know, I'm on my crusade of hip-hop colonizers trying to corner the market and trying to act like they know things that they don't. But if they don't come speak to Michael Parkinson or people who have really been there, who are outside and actually contributed to a lot of the sound that we hear in UK hip-hop, then you ain't doing your job properly. So this is us paying homage to you.
Thank you,
so
man.
Thank you for being here.
You know what? Thanks a lot, man. Like, I'll be real with you. I don't really think about accolades too tough. I just make more music, because in the end, that's all what's left. You know, like, in this mad time we're in as people and human beings, you know, a lot of our heroes are dying. But it's kind of mad. Like, even thinking about it, I was talking to my wife today. It's like, yo, De La Soul, 3 feet high and rising, 30 years old. And it's like, I remember when, you know, my dad or whatever would be like, yo, man, the Beatles is 30 years old, this album or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's just looking at my kids and the transition of it you know, my kids were at the dining table at the time when I was, you know, it's just, yeah, man, it's mad how life goes. So what, that's why my focus is on doing as much music as I can, because that's all what's going to be left. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
you're wearing a football shirt.
Oh, bro, this is my, this is my shit. It's my, so this, no, it's not even a guilty pleasure, bro. I've been a gooner since bloody 5, 6. I was like 9 when we beat you lot at Anfield, bruv. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Tell him.
I had
tell
a different. My approach is different. What I was going to say was, it's the same way managers and even some footballers approach their craft. They you know, they have goals, you know, whether it's, you know, clean sheets, whether it's, you know, winning the you know, your Ballon d'Or or goal scoring charts. But they look at the end of their career when they've put boots up, they look back and reflect. And it's the same way where you're just going, I'm putting out consistent quality music to leave a legacy. And I can look back when I want to hang it up. If I ever want to choose to do that at any point, I can look back and reflect. But right now you're in the mode of, I just want to be Cristiano Ronaldo, scoring goals, goal after goal after goal after goal.
Come on, like, if he's wearing an Arsenal shirt, bro, you can't. There's no one in Arsenal you could have compared him to.
Nah. Ian Wright and that. Ian Wright, Thierry Henry and that. Dennis Bergkamp and that.
But he won't mention him because he hated the goal. He hated.
He knows
the
what
king.
Time it is.
Listen, I'm not one of those. I don't know how I'm being painted this. One of these, like, I'm a very liberal football fan. I like all
the
kinds
only
of teams.
Guy I know who's a Liverpool fan, far as I'm aware, who actually richly recognises he is a GOAT and he is a king, is Joker Star. He recognises Thierry Henry, but every other one, they don't mention him. They'll mention Ian Wright. Nah. They don't want to mention...
Oh, wow, this has got to a horrible start. Wow. No, listen, Thierry Henry, let's talk about it now. You know, they talk about Aguero, they talk about, like, Cristiano Ronaldo. It's Thierry Henry is the defining Premier League footballer. For me, they even say Cantona. It's Henry. His impact, how he changed style, how teams change the way their forwards make movement and runs was
but
because of Thierry Henry and Arsene Wenger.
This would have, and this right? is, I'm going to give you lot your flowers. None of this would be possible in terms of, you know, because for me, as a black man and loving football, it's John Barnes. Like, he's the star.
You're right. His impact, I mean, just for Liverpool, yes, because he's up there as one of their greatest players, period, right? Doesn't matter where, from what era, he's one up there. But there was a player, the first black player player for Liverpool was Howard Gale. And he was on the substitutes bench, and he came on for a little bit, the European Cup final in I think it was 78, where he played. So Barnes would reference Howard Gale as...
But this is what I'm saying, hero. Like, me growing up, because I'm an old guy now, I don't like to say, well, yeah, psh. You know what I mean? You know, when your oldest son is 20, you know you're old. You know what I'm saying?
is that how old he is now?
Yeah, man. Caleb's 20, bro. Yeah, Caleb from Working Class Dad is 20, bro. That's, yeah, I know, man. Yeah, I know. It's
amazing,
crazy.
Bro. Congrats, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Caleb was the one thing. Caleb was the one in the Here We Go video, innit?
Yeah.
He's 20 now.
He's 20 now, man. Okay. You know, your bottom lip, bro, that's a minute. But you know, that's what I'm saying. Football aside, like, it's just all, it's all a cultural thing, like, or all a thing to inspire another. That's the whole basis of what this goes back to, hip hop as well. Like, who inspired me to do this? There's various artists, from Franco Dia or to whoever, to inspire me to want to do this. And then you eventually meet the core of your inspirations, and then that's just another story, man. I feel in terms of football, when we were growing up, it was two teams. It was Liverpool or like Arsenal. That was it.
So when I was growing up, I started supporting Liverpool, 6, 7, right? But I'd always see Kevin Campbell, Ian Wright. That's really what I always have a soft spot for Arsenal, purely because I would go Ian Wright.
No,
Kevin
it's the
Campbell.
Same. It's the
I was
same,
an open
bro.
Fan.
It's the same with Michael Thomas.
Watch.
I mean, he won us the league, you lot got him as well.
It's crazy.
Like, you know what I mean? It's one of them ones. You know? So, and then he won you the league the next season.
Absolutely.
See that?
He did. He did. We're talking like early 90s, late 90s here. This is a rigor, but let's talk about Michael Parkinson, not the football fan, but the producer for a second. What's the setup at the moment that you have and the equipment that you use currently and how that's changed over the, I guess, last 10 years or so? If it has.
Yeah, it has changed. It's been more computer-based now, like obviously with the Renaissance, but before, I can't even dig it out, I can't bother to go. But yeah, it was just the 1000, you know what I mean? If it wasn't the 1000 before that, I had... the 2000, I got a box full of floppy discs there, bro, if you get me. So it's like I was on it from before I had that. I had the Yamaha SU-10. And with that Yamaha SU-10, I produced a song called Freedom Fighters. I don't know if you've heard that. With Kalashnikov, Jest, Ram, myself, Kaiser. And I did that off a Yamaha SU-10. That's just like a sample unit. So I just found a drum loop. Or I found some drums, looped it, sampled that bit, and then played the whole sample, another sample over the beat. And that's how I kind of got into it, because I was just always, like I'd say literally 99, 98, that's when I was like, yeah, I'm on this thing. Like, I want to make beats. Like, I want to do this thing. I just got passion for it. I don't know what it is. It's just grown and grown and grown. And it's kind of mad to say how it's grown to where I am now, because literally this is what I do for a living. So it's kind of weird to associate it, because I remember I used to have an argument, big up Harry Love. I used to say, oh, DJs are the best beat makers, because I'm a rapper. And he would be like, nah, rappers are, because they know what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like how to put some shit, because they know how to sit in the pocket and how to do this or what beat they want. So over the accumulation, I've gotten better. I'd say blatantly I'm better now, hella better now, like, than compared. But it's like practice makes perfect, isn't it? I'm better, 10 times better as beat maker than I was when I made me, myself, and that guy. Now, I can, right. That's like hands on heart. I can say that. Even when I did that, that was a process of confidence, self-confidence. Because I was always making beats even before I put out the Working Class Dad. But I just didn't feel confident enough in just doing a whole self-produced project or a whole...
What changed?
A lot of things. There was a basis that I'd just done first, second time around. I was touring around with that, with Jest, and it was time to do the second, like, his man was trying to bug, like, you could do another album, but let's not do a whole album full of producers, you know what I mean? And what bugs me up about that album is, like, a lot of people done some shit, like, for the first, second time around, and it never really, like, there was beats from Butcher even on that, or didn't make it, you get me? So it was an 18, 19 track album. You can't really push the, you know what I mean? But I mean, like after I did that, I was like, Jess kept on saying, yo, like, just do it yourself. You fucking make beats. Why are you playing? Just do it yourself. And then I was like, my 2000 was broken at the time. And so what I did, the gig I did that night with him, the money I took, by chance, someone was selling a 1000. Just down the road for me, and he just wanted to get rid of it to help pay the rent for their studio or whatever. Big up Ashley B, by the way, it was him. And then I just got it off him like after the show, like literally like the next day I went and bought it. And the first beat I made was me.
Okay.
Wow.
That was the first beat I made.
Crazy.
That literally was the first beat I made off that. And then the third beat I made was Monster Under the Bed.
We got to talk about that song later. It's on my list.
Yeah, damn. That was the third song I made. The third beat I made. And then I just kept on trying to bang some out. Then I got some more cards. I still got some of the cards here. And then I remember, because I think around near the middle of the album, because I just started just making the beats. And then, like, Jess was like, yo, because they moved studio. Why not move studio to Camberwell? Because before we were in Whitechapel. And then so like, so management is like, obviously in the weekends, he's not there, he's doing whatever he's doing. So he's like, Jaeger, do you want to come and record? Because I don't know how to record myself. I don't know. This is the basics, you know what I mean? It took me like, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but I've literally, so every Saturday, I would gear up to try and record two songs that would give myself a goal. And mind you, around now, like I'm working, I've got a part-time job, you know what I mean? I'm doing the music thing as well, but it's not full-time, you know what I mean? I've got kids, bruv, it's not a game out here. So I'm literally like cleaning, go into bloody studio weekend. I would try and obviously not even try, I would make a beat or whatever. I'll show someone, but oh no, I'll finish it, write it. One of them, what started, sparked off a long run of songs was What You're Looking At. Because that was one of the first ones recorded, even though I had made the beat for me and it was one of the first beats, I ain't even written it yet. You see what I'm saying? Like the way how me, myself, and that guy formulated and was made in mad ways, but it was all made every weekend. I just go every weekend and do a song. Do, you know, yeah, you'll record me. Sometimes the next man will be in there, or sometimes I'd have a gig, so I can't even record that Saturday because I'd be touring Jest or whatever. So like I would just be like, go into the studio. And then finally got round to like etching it. And then had to knuckle it down. And I was like, yeah, this is the album. And it's kind of mad how it came about, because I liked it was the whole formula of doing something or making a beat and then trying to write for it. Like giving yourself our own personal goal of trying to do, yeah, bruv, I'm in studio Saturday. I just made this Thursday. Let me get the pen out. Like it was like that. Like I need to get some shit, some bars, at least get some stuff down. And I needed to find another way to me, because like from working class dad, even down to first, second time round, you know me as an artist, like, you know, I'm a dad, you know, I smoke weed, you know, I love weed, you know, I like beach, you know, I'm golden era. What else can I offer? Or what else can I show you you haven't seen before? If you understand my meaning. Mm-hmm. And, because of that, like I had to just delve deep. I had to delve into the facts of me being that's what my own worst enemy is about. My inner demons, being a prick, ego, take you down the wrong road. Because hip hop, it's an egotistical thing, bruv. It's not like, you know, it's born off ego. It's born off like you would write your bar because you want to write a bar better than what you just heard, what inspired you to write. You know what I mean? So it's like, I had to deal with all of them demons and just start laying them. And I had to big up, I tested myself as well. Big up Lashana Lynch, who's now the 007. She's on the album.
She's moving mad. She's on Living to Die. She's moving mad, bro.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? So, like, I had to do that. I will do another one. I'm kind of, like, halfway a little bit through. But I might not call it Me, Myself, and I might just call it something else. I'm not going to say
that. Okay, so what's the process like in terms of writing to your own beats? Is it, like... I know you mentioned that you would, for that particular project, you made the beat and you would write to it. But what is it like now? Have you ever written and then thought, okay, I'm going to build something around what I've written?
No, I have not. I have never written like that. Last time I've written like that ever, if anything, it would always be to another beat. It wouldn't be like to my beat or some shit like that. But that's working class dad era, man. That's like struggle era. Like when I did the shit and the struggle, like too far. You know what I mean? Like, I fell in love with having fun again. The person who made me fall in love with having fun with this again and enjoying it and enjoying what I do. And it's Giallo Point. Like, he literally, I don't know what it is. Like, I've done, like, I love the album I did with Mr. Thing. That's homage. Like, he's one of the best things, man. Like, to hit, you know, shit happening in terms of like, we want to pay homage to what I do, because I've always wanted to do an album with a DJ. You mean, like, he is like literally the best DJ in this country and stuff. I'm not even that one in the world. And to actually do an album with him, like, it was like, that's why it took 7 years. You get me? Mm. But with Giallo, it was a different, it was just a, yo, yeah, here, bruv. And then by like, started Christmas, And by next Christmas, it was on wax. It's just, we had fun. We had a blast. We're already halfway through the sequel already. But just like everything we've been doing, like this whole, everything, it's just been a tide and a turn of having fun. Because as an artist, you can get lost in the seriousness of it all. And as for me, it's hella serious, bro. Like, I got tax returns and all them things, which I do. But I mean, like, you know, I've got family literally reliant on whether I fucking put some shit out, whether I sell fucking, you know what I mean, records, whatever they may be and shit. You know what I mean? Like, whether I do that, but it's reliant on that. Knowing even while I'm doing this, you know, people who don't know how to conduct business properly are still eating off you. Don't want to give you your just dues and shit like that. So it's a lot. It's very, to have that relief of fun again, man, and just, you know, I love it, you know. And even I've got a big up Butcher. He's helped me have fun again, like making music, beats, and you know what I mean? Like, I ain't really, it's very hard. I know it sounds a bit mad and I sound like a moany old guy.
No. Say what you need to say, bro.
I don't.
You get me?
I don't think anyone would ever characterize what you're saying as anything like that. It's not. I think this is personal to you. You've got to remember, you're an artist in a holistic sense, right? You're an artist in every sense, and so therefore this is personal to you. Your family being in your music is important to you. Working, collaborating with other people, pinpointing other artists to go, hey man, you got something, I want to work with you. There's something about that. And also, you come from the culture and therefore it hits you differently. You experience it much more different than others would who want to profit from it, right? So this is different from
you. It's exactly what you just said. And I don't know if you've lot been watching it. Have you been watching Hip Hop Uncovered?
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen all of the six?
Yeah, I've seen the whole thing.
There you go. There's a time when Bimmy says something and he says, like, you know, there's loyalty, there's certain things even with people you come up with, or there's certain things, but when it comes to the industry, that shit's different. Like, man will be smiling in your face while they're robbing you, bruv. Like, man will be, you know, rare. And I learned the hard way of a lot of other things, and then I just understood what it is, you know? And now I take harness and control of ownership of, you know, this shit, man, you know? Me, myself, like, that's me, like, no, that's it. So you can either fuck up and just, like, moan about being shortchanged, or you could be like, no, this man, I'm making this, like, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm on, like, literally. That's why I have projects dropping, like, almost every month. And that's why, funny enough, big up Cosim, our album Aspetta drops midnight tonight, even though this will be out most probably after it's out. But you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, drops midnight, literally tonight. So go and check it. Whole album produced by me. It's Cosim. Features Juggernaut, myself, Converse, McSwagger, Jazz T on the cuts, Jabba the cut. I'm just always making music. I'm not stopping for no one, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I ain't got time to whittle. It's nice. But that's why, another reason why I just keep going forward, because I can look back and I'll be like, yeah, but I'll be like, man, you know what I mean?
but Parky, I hope you realize this, that is motivation and drive and inspiration for someone coming up who may be going through something similar to you at a younger stage in their life. So you see it as moany. I see it as actually what you're going is, I went through this and this is how I reacted to it. And this is what I'm going to do. Right. And so that experience, that life lesson that you can pass on to your family, to your friends, and to people who listen to it, who are younger, beat makers, writers, whoever, people in business trying to realize that, yo,
this is what I'm saying.
There's other people that have gone through this. There's strength in that and there's courage in that. So I think maybe I would say, from my point of view, someone who cares a lot about people who have contributed, you've got to see that. That's motivation. Yeah,
but even within the self, like, even knowing that, oh shit, ah damn, you can turn it. There's a lot of things I learned, but I'd have to thank my wife for it as well. Majorly my wife. I'd have to thank a lot of people as well on the come up when I was coming up, like Ram and Kinetic, because I feel like you can get angry, but instead of get angry, why not turn the anger into something else and be like, you know what I mean? Like, because you ain't going to get nowhere, really. But I would get somewhere if I put the anger, put a record out. I would get somewhere if I... Too many people, especially in England, and I'll be real, like, it's another thing I let go. Like, you say UK hip-hop. I don't fuck with that. I make hip-hop. And the only reason why I'll say that, and I'm not saying it to blow my own trumpet, is because Pharoah said it to me. When Pharoah said that shit to me, it's like, I don't need to hear anybody from no one. I don't need to hear UK. That's what kind of hinders us, and that's what kind of think, in terms of a scene, why a lot of people on some crabs in the barrel shit. You know, I've always said it. I've said it on multiple places. I still say it. But, yeah, that's why a lot of people, they'll love this music. They'll love me and Kinetics EP. They'll love this, but they won't share it. They'll come up and tell us.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
You know what I'm saying? They won't retweet your podcast. They won't love, oh, yeah, see what you're doing. Or,
no.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they won't do that.
But I think that's. I think some of that is to do with just how things are set up here for people to compete with each other rather than celebrate each other. And I say UK hip hop in terms of.
That's right. No, you're right. No, bro. There's no gripe in you. I'm just saying in terms of the.
Yeah. But like, I know what you mean because I mean I came through that bit where, and I'm not a rapper. I'm not anything musical. I'm a failed Homo sapien. I came through that era where I saw this. You know, oh, I don't fuck with him. Why? What's wrong? No. Yeah, but no, you want his position or you want her position and you're not going to celebrate each other and build each other up. And it bugged me out. And you'd have it in journalism.
That's why I always, and I'm still saying, you think about giving my flowers. This is another fact, known fact. Kinetic is one of the first artists to hit me up as a producer. Like, literally, he is the first artist to hit me up as a producer. He knows I'm an art, like, I rap and rip, but he hit me up. Like, nah, all right. If he didn't do that, I don't think I would be on this mission now. And this is even though after I put out Me, Myself, and Akai. You get me? Like, man did Here We Go, yeah. But he was the first artist. No one else. It was like, you know what I mean? Like, it's you would think that people would want to... You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, but it wasn't the case. Like, man, I have to just work, you know? Just keep on working. And then it's mad, like, how things work out. Especially, I think the stuff, what I've done with my cousin, that's when the coin flipped for a lot of people. Because, sorry, my cousin, by the way, is the Fly Hooligan.
Yes. We're going to talk about him.
But that's when the coin flipped. And that's when it was just like, oh, shit, okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned your cousin,
mm-hmm.
the Fly mm-hmm. Hooligan. I just spoke to him about an hour ago. Talk to me about when did you find out he was? Is it always like since day or was there a certain point in life you find out he was your cousin? And when did you guys start connecting on music?
Okay. All right. My cousin. Basically, I've known my cousin. We knew each other. For 10 years before we knew we were related.
That's crazy.
Northwest London Chronicles, man.
And basically, the first time I met him was at Kaiser's video shoot. We knew of each other before via when I was in a group called Two Halves. He was Iron Braids and he went under, he had a production name called Iron Chrome and he produced a couple of beats for the person who I was in a group with. Now, I finally first meet him at Kaiser's video shoot, the Fight Club video shoot. You all remember Fight Club? But then, and he's like, oh, rah, and we're just talking. And we just got on like a house on fire. Like, we just took numbers and just that. And it's just through life, we just buck up and see each other. Never thought of anything. One day, I think it's my daughter's communion. Yeah, shit, it is. Yeah, my daughter's Holy Communion. And my cousin's round, Dee Dee, she's my first cousin. And she goes, oh, I see what you're doing with this music. You should just hook up with Iron Braids. I said, what? I literally call him. After I call him, I'm like, bruv, you never guess who I'm with. He goes, who? I said, I'm with our cousin. He goes, what are you talking about, our cousin? I said, I'm with Dee Dee. that's my cousin, blood. He goes, no, that's my cousin, bro. And then the rest is a wrap. I said, yo, we're family, man. That's it. Like, and he's one of the key factors what made me go self-employed. Not only Jess, but him. Like, because do you want to hear this story?
Bro, go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Well, basically, I just done Outlook Festival, and I done it with Jess and a band, live band, and I was still cleaning bloody fucking. I was still a part-time cleaner for Rent-A-Kill. I'd hoover the whole of the Xerox in Uxbridge building. Like, I'd hoover, like, topped all of the floors. And I'd only do, like, 25 hours a week. So I've got the rest of the day to do, you know, go studio, because the studio's in South. So anyway, I was late getting to the studio. Now the studio had moved to Forest Hill. So it's not even in Camberwell anymore. So I was just late and I was just a bit pissed. I can't remember what we were doing or what had to be done, but I've come there and my cousin's there. My cousin's doing a session with Chemo, because that's what Chemo does. You get me? He masters everyone's stuff. So my cousin's doing a session with him, and my cousin's like, you know, my man's like, oh, Jess is like, bruv, you need to allow this one foot in, one foot out business. And I'm like, bruv, I've got kids, bruv. You know what I mean? Kids on my arm. You know what I mean? Like, I got you. Bruv, whether these records sell or not, I need money coming in. And I ain't trying to sell drugs, bruv. I'd left that life behind. So my cousin goes, nah, he's right, you know. And I'm just flipping out. Like, what do you mean? Like, but prior to me coming there, and this is the madness of this whole story. Prior to me coming and being late to the session, I was hoovering that morning the top floor in Xerox building. And when I was hoovering, my hoover plugged out. And I heard, when I say real, y'all say shit, real. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, man, I was at Outlook. I saw you. I bought all your shit. You don't need to be doing this. It's like signs from God, like, was just happening that day, bruv. And then I've come there and I'm about to get into an argument with Jess, like, because I'm late and for it. And then my cousin's agreeing with him. Nah, you need to allow that. So I was like, you know, I need to talk to my wife. So I came back home and then, like, I said, yo, let's think about getting into this self-employed thing, doing it this way, see what options we got. What help you've got. I've put out, and it's much funny to think about it, like, you know, I put out 3 albums, you know, like, and now I'm one of the but that was the mentality, like, being locked, you know. And I'm good for it now. It was a struggle, and it's further a struggle when you find out other things, but we won't get into
that. We can we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But no, big up to your wife, Miranda. For the benefit of our listeners, and I don't know if even Summit knows, I went to college with Miranda.
Mm-hmm. You went to St. Charles,
yeah,
man.
In
I
the
know.
Late 90s. So Miranda would be like in the common room, and I tell this story to my friends, like, she said she was dating an MC, a rapper. So I'm a hater, innit? And you know this, Summit, I'm a hater. So me and my friends was like, me and my friends are like, because we thought we were the rappers, innit? What are you talking about? You're dating a rapper? Nah, man, you ain't dating a rapper. Bro, 10 years later, I go to Parky's launch party, and he's on the microphone, and he's like, I want to big up my wife, Miranda. I look up to the balcony, bro, and it's Miranda from St. Charles College, and I'm like, yo, is that the rapper you've been dating the whole time? And you know what's mad, bro? I only went to Parky's launch party, one, because Chemo recorded it. I was curious and I was at home bored. I'm like, let me just go to this launch party at the Jazz Cafe. And I met Parky that night, and Miranda, his wife, was the girl. We was like, oh yeah, you're dating a rapper. Like, Miranda was always cool though. She was always cool. And I gave Parky a CD that night of the album I just put out. I said, listen to it. And he texted me like the next day. He's like, yeah, I'm rocking with this. Let's do something. So you just see how things come full circle, like, wow. 10 years later, bro.
That's crazy. And you know what's so mad? Like, you know what's so mad about that? She had just, yeah, that was July. That launch was right.
Yeah.
It was July
because it was a warm night. I remember.
Yeah, we just like a month ago. Yeah, Josiah was just born, bruv.
See it there?
You know what I mean? Josiah, like our third, but he was just born. You know what I mean? And it's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
You know, it's I'm just so happy that I stayed cool with Miranda in college, just because like I know she vouched for me with Parky. Like, no, he's cool. So I know that helped. So you know, big up to Miranda every time.
Yeah, man. She's a realist, man. Yeah. She's a realist.
Yeah, you've got a good one. But realist. let's talk music, man. When I listen to your beats, right? First of all, I want to congratulate you on your drums, because your drums have a very unique swing to them, and it makes me want to rap and get very aggressive. But I know you love Kev Brown.
You sound so...
Yeah, bro. I want to get aggressive, bro.
Yeah. To be fair, here we go. For example, I got that. We played that at my wedding, right?
Yeah, we performed it at his wedding.
Oh my God, shit.
Yeah,
oh,
it makes me want to punch someone in the face on sight.
Are you want to hear another story, Sumit? I wrote the second verse the night you introduced me to Elliot and we went out.
Elliot Wilson?
Yeah, that's the night I wrote the second verse. Because remember, I introduced myself to Elliot as a hitman for hire. That's in the song.
Bro.
Yeah. It's all coming out. Why you love Kev Brown so much, man?
I'm not, what, who, me?
Yeah, bro.
Yo, man, you know what? Like, I've got to apologize to him. I've got to apologize. Yo, Kev, if you ever see this, bro, I'm coming. Don't worry. I'm just getting my money together. I'm coming. Don't worry. All right. Other than that, all right. I think he's a GOAT. Not only that, but oh man, a lot of his shit influences my shit. I don't know how, I can't put a finger on it, you know, like the same way how Dilla influences a lot of people and stuff like that. Like, I think he really, meeting him made it even better. And then actually working with him kind of via Sonny Jim, that even made it just, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, Kev is the guy, man. Kev is the guy. Like, he's just, you know what I mean? He's just, and a lot of people won't even think like, yo, yeah, was he born? Like the day, he's born a couple days. He's born around the same time as Dilla.
I think what, 74?
I think so. I think it's the same year, blood. Like, nah, he's 76. So he's 2 years after.
Yes.
But I mean, in terms of the date.
Okay.
Yeah, in terms of the date, you know, like, it's the same month, isn't it? He's an Aquarian, isn't it? Like, so it's just like, literally a couple of days, I think, we're rare. It's the same people would say about me and Will, isn't it? Like, they would say, oh, rah, like, we're 10 days apart, isn't it? Like, I'm the 31st, he's the 21st, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mad.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I can hear, and I don't think it's a bad thing, though, Parky, but I can hear your influences in your beats, but they're still I can tell a Parky beat just by the drums.
It depends on the drum. Like, yeah, well, yeah, but this is one thing. I don't know. Like, I'll use drum packs and I'd still make my beat.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. But you also got to remember, we've been listening to your music for so long and we have like an intimate connection with it. The same way you can tell a Primo beat, the same way you can tell a Just Blaze beat. It's just, you could give the same sample to different people and it will sound and feel different. But you have a signature. You have a signature sound, and I want to salute you for that, because you know, even when I rhyme on your beats, bro, it's like people tell me like you and Parky sound great together. Like, there's just, you just bring something out of me. You bring out the 5% Black Panther office worker.
Bro, to be honest with you, man, like, you need to make it happen, innit?
We're gonna do that.
You just, but I can understand. Because what you do with Imperial is just as effective, bro. It's just as dope. Like, it's just as dope.
What that's done is given me two different audiences. So with Imperial, I can do like Secret Garden Party. With you, I can do the Jazz Cafe. Both are very important audiences. And it's almost given me this new lease of life. Bro, you're the reason why I got to perform at the Jazz Cafe. I was on my way home, bruv. This is when, you know, me and Roxy was dating, innit? I was gassed, like, in my suit.
The Pete Rock Sales Smooth Show,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, bro. And you said, yo, come to the Jazz Cafe and perform. Here we go. I've always wanted to perform at the Jazz Cafe, and you made that happen for me. Summit was there and took the footage.
Bro, I needed that to happen.
Bro.
So don't even think like, oh, yeah, man, he's bringing me in. Nah, I needed you to be.
No, I appreciate that. But, bro, when I got on the stage, I'm walking down the stairs, bro, and I'm thinking, Guru walked down these stairs. This is what's going through my head, bro. Dilla walked down these stairs. Like, I was, bro, it was a spiritual moment. And when I got off the stage, I had people coming up to me saying, yeah, I know Memory Lane, I know this and that. You made that happen for me. So me and Summit are very big about private praise and public praise. I want to salute you for that, because you made one of my biggest dreams come true.
Bro. Well, nah, man. It's still yet to happen, man. Like, we still got a lot in the tank.
Of course.
I'm optimistic.
Of course.
I'm still like, this is another thing funny, like you spoke about, like, because since this pandemic, a lot of artists, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you've noticed it within the UK section or within this region. A lot of people have just like had enough. Like, they're just not on it because they can't do gigs. So they're just not on it. Oh, what's the point? If I can't perform it, then how am I going to sell this record, or how am I going to do? It's like, just before this shit happened, I put out an album with Mr. Thing. The shit went. We pressed more. Big up Village Live, by the way. We pressed more because we thought, oh, we needed to do gigs. We weren't hooked up with a booking agency. We didn't get no shows. There was no pandemic. We sold records. We're old guys. So we were happy with that. That's the whole point, isn't it? Like, to be played elsewhere or whatever. If you get a show on top, then that's dope. I miss doing shows. You know what I mean? I do miss doing shows, bruv. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't miss it that much as I do miss making music and making it happen.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. And talking about your shows, you and Jokerstar have such an electric chemistry. When you guys are on stage together, I almost feel like you could take the music away. You could literally end each other's sentences. Talk about your relationship with Jokerstar and why he's so important to what you do.
He's my brother. He's seen a lot. I need to speak to him. I spoke to him about 2 weeks. Shit. Big up jokes. but like, he is my brother. And in terms of show, the best analogy I could make it is, if you like our shows, I'm Spliff Star, he's Buster.
Got it.
That's the only way. That's the best way I can put the analogy. He is Buster.
No, it makes sense. Bro, I was at a show. Jokerstar stood in one spot with his arms folded and the crowd went nuts. I'm like, nah, this is some different type of showmanship, bruv. I think it was what you're looking at.
What are you looking at?
Bro, I stood there and I'm like, how does he do that? Absolute madness.
Yeah.
Absolute
madness. What are you looking at?
Big tune.
Yeah.
Before I hand back over to Summit though, you mentioned Kaiser. You guys were in a group back in the day, right?
Yeah, man. NWC. Like, the first song he ever rapped on, like in a studio, was because of us, really. But that's my brother as well. I was about to say his name. Yeah, man, he'll tell you.
Yeah, we know, like, we know his name, you know his name.
Yeah, like, really, like, one of his... Bruv, you know what? I've got to big you up. Because on the intro for the fucking, you know, the Laundrette Leviette, mm-hmm. bro, you mentioned a song what no one's heard, what no one knows about. Braggadocio. You didn't even know that, did you?
Okay, I'm going to make a confession. I didn't even know that was a song. That was me saying something that someone from around my way used to say when he started his verse.
Bruv, we had a song called Braggadocio. Like, the beginning, it was meant to be the intro. And it had trumpets. I made it on the MP. This is like NWC days. This is literally before he did Lights Out.
Okay, I didn't know, but we're in sync.
And it's called Braggadocio.
What does NWC stand for?
Northwest Collaboration.
Okay. Okay.
Because some of us are from West London, some of us are from Northwest London, and, you know, ME's from Kensal Rice, Ram's from, like, Kilburn Lane down the road. I'm from Kilburn.
Kilburn's now called North Maida Vale, by the way, just letting you know.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk.
What's that? Nah, man, we talk about that.
No, 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 listen. Look at the map. My boy from Kilburn.
Yeah, my phone.
My boy from Kilburn said he ordered some Uber Eats and, you know, he put in his postcode and there was no Kilburn. It's North Maida Vale, bro.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, man, Kilburn's gone, bruv. Kilburn's gone, bro. Yeah, man. Bad. You're from North Maida Vale, bruv. That's you.
You are, yeah. You're from North Maida.
What can I say?
That is insane. I'll let Chris talk about Monster on the Bed and Eight Bricks. If you could produce one album, if you could produce an album from one artist, top to bottom, who would it be?
Damn. I can't be able to. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to do it because he's not here with me no more.
Sean Price.
And yeah. By far. That's one artist I'd love to do a whole album. Like literally a whole album, top to bottom. Intro, skits, all types of shit. Like,
I actually feel a bit emotional now you said that, actually.
Can you imagine that? That'd be fucking insane.
Yeah, Sean Price. Like, Sean Price should be.
I think I'd make it bananas. I think I'd do some different shit. Like, we do some different shit, like, as well. Like, I'd just do some different shit, man. Not some shit you'd expect, but different shit. I don't know, a little bit like, not like Back in Business, if you've not checked that shit, but like different shit. Like, I just know I could do. There's a couple of other people I'd like to work with. Even like, I'd love to work with Freddie Gibbs or Conway. Conway's like my favorite right now, like the moment. I just like ignorant shit sometimes, bro. Like, I just like to ignorant shit. What rhyme? It just helps me vent in this time and age.
We do too. Me and Chris have often bonded over some ignorant rap. Mm. And Freddie Gibbs definitely comes in that conversation.
Yeah, he's one of our favorites.
But in terms of like, no, I'll still say it. Like top five, yeah, man. Like, well, yeah, Juggs is up there, man. He's one of my top five, right?
We just spoke to him. Yeah.
He's one of my top five. Like, by far, hands down. Like, I put him up there with Royce and Black Thought. I put him up there with them, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seen him do certain things, like, diction wise, what makes you just think, what the? Like, how, bro, like, it's not even a game with that guy, I swear, man. Sometimes I'm thinking, nah, bruv, your aura's from Tibet, where the golden child is from, or some shit. My cousin is, he's the flyest, he's the nicest, he's the greatest. Like, it's one of them ones. But it's not just about rap, man. Like, in terms of culture, that like, I don't even call my cousin the fly, I call him the culture.
Wow.
Real shit. That's his name. Say, so, well, what cuz? What culture? Because that's what he is, bro. Been that from day dot. Like, even back then, man was fucking with Brat. He was fucking with RZA. He was fucking with Tech. Bro, like, when we went to hip hop camp, that blew my mind, bro. Like, blew my mind. Just blew my mind. You know what I mean? I had Alchemist come to me and say, yo, weed smoke, man, that shit stopped.
Wow. That must have gassed you, bro.
Like, what? Bruh. A lot of things changed my perspective from that whole trip. And it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for my blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think if I didn't believe in my blood, it's like, it's mad. It's like, you know, believing in yourself and someone giving you the power to believe in what your abilities are. Cause I'm a modest man. And I know Chris knows I'm a modest man. Like, when you say all this stuff about me, I don't really intake it because I'm too busy moving forward and making new shit or trying to stay grounded. As you can hear, I just think about my kids and I think about shit, man. You know what I mean? I'm just too busy dealing with that. But sometimes when I, like certain people, like music I've heard, there's music yet to come out. I ain't even going to say anything. But when it does come out, the bar's raised. If you're not on the shit, is what it is, bruv. You've got to pay some P in it, some major P.
Pun intended.
You know what I mean? Like, real shit. Like, if you're not my peoples, and I know it sounds dread, because I was always working with everyone. I wanted to work with everyone, but I'm just sick and tired of this, like, I'm too old to be doing this hobby shit, bro. Like, there's a lot of people out there, they think they're doing it for artistry. They're not really doing it for the right reasons. They're not really, they'd rather do it for the accolades or doing it for the shine.
Stamp collectors.
Bro, I can't knock that. Yeah, stamp collectors, bro. You get a lot of stamp collector artists, you know what I mean? By meaning the stamp collector artist, I mean, like, you know, the guy who just wants to have a verse from every guy who's hot right now or whatever. Like, that's the whole meaning of stamp collection in my world. And it's like, if it's part of you and what you do, like, and it goes with the sound, then so be it. I'm not going to knock you, you do you. But one thing I know is, it's back to the whole conversation of, you know, hip-hop uncovered, about industry v morality and realness of, you know, even because hip-hop didn't start in no industry type shit. It didn't start, it started with a brethren linking a brethren, then making something together, you know, like, yo, let's do some shit. It's before there's any money involved, there's the spark of wanting to do it. There's a spark of, yo, let's do it, and then we can worry about this shit afterwards. Let's just do this shit. You get me? And we're in a whole new age. And I can't even front on a new generation because it's not had a knock-on effect on the older generation, but we're in a whole new age of everyone just wants their reward before the work. Everyone wants their, you know what I mean? And this is where you get lost in the source blood. Like, this is why I just stay. I don't do that much interviews. I do it for my guys, but I'm just not, because, you know, there's men who just do this just for interviews, blood.
We know a few.
You know what I mean? They just do it for that. Or they'll holler at you, how do I get on here? I've had people like hit me up, like, no disrespect, some of them I'm working with, but someone else like, yo, bruv, how do you get hooked up with Tufcom? They're putting up this. How can I get hooked up? You didn't even think about hollering them yourself. You just thought about hollering me first. Like, you just thought, oh, right, if Barky can do it, then I can do it.
We get that a lot. We get that a lot too. It happens at all facets in the quote-unquote industry, which zaps the soul out of the music. And that's why sometimes there's such a disparity and disconnect between what we feel and what the industry does, because their job is to suck the soul out of it, whereas our job is to keep the soul alive and keep that light on all the time. And that's the problem, you see. Chris?
You know what? I haven't really got any more questions to ask, because I feel like...
Sorry.
No, bro, this is oftentimes, you know, we always like to come planned and prepared, but I just felt like you just gave us the realness of what we needed to hear today. And I want to say this to you publicly.
Well, I haven't been too disrespectful.
No, this is our platform is your platform, but I want to say something to you that I don't think I've ever said to you, and I've never said publicly. Before I met you, I struggled with my identity as an MC. I didn't find my voice. I didn't feel like I was a part of the hip hop community here in the UK. And the way you embraced me, it wasn't because of streams or numbers. I wasn't famous. I wasn't popular. You just embraced me for the talent that you thought I had. And that was
I knew you had.
I appreciate that and I hear you. But I just want you to know, you embracing me, bro, made me feel for the first time that I was a part of the community in hip hop here. It gave me confidence. It made me feel respected. And I said to myself, you know what? If man like Michael Parkins...
That's crazy.
Go ahead.
That's crazy for you to say that.
I'm telling you, bro.
I'm going to tell you why it's crazy for you to say that. Because before me and you even worked together, you already had joints with John Phonics.
Yeah, I know, bro. But
you already had joints with other people. And it's deep that you say that, man. Like, real talk.
No, I've got to say this because when I'm not here, this podcast is going to be documenting people's legacy. So I want to say thank you almost for being like my big brother in the music game to this day. You know, Spin Cycle, Here We Go. You gave me a classic, bro. Like, it was a cheat code. It was literally a cheat code.
The only reason why I feel all of that works is because it's organic.
Yeah, but you called me. You told me. Remember, I want you to rap on this.
That's organic.
Mm-hmm.
You need this beat. Now I can hear connect. Nah, I even send you stuff I can hear you on, but you don't hear yourself on.
Nah, I remember when I heard Bow with you and Joker Star and Sunny Jim, I'm like, yo, this beat is nuts. And you told me, but I sent it to you though.
Yeah, I sent you that beat before Sunny took it.
It happens. But I just wanted to say that publicly. You are you made me feel appreciated, and I will always have a certain loyalty to you because of that.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Like, I'm just like, bro, thank you. Thank both of you for doing what you're doing, because this is the only way people gonna know from me directly, because I ain't got time. Because I know it sounds a bit weird. The way I look at life now is the best way I can leave behind is the proofs in the pudding. What's the point of me talking? Look at the efforts. That should be enough. You know what I mean? And I think if everyone took that note out of there, you know, if they try to do it and apply it to whatever, they'll blossom. Because there'll be too much music for man. Like, it's not even about, you know, why does man want to do this shit? Because you love music. You know what I mean? Or you want to improve it, or you heard something that inspired you to want to try and make something better. But put it out. Don't hold on to it, man. The amount of shit, like, the amount of shit, bruv, I can go into ones, bruv. The amount of, I've learned the lesson. I could even be as what you, if you ever interview Cashmere, ask him. And this is proof. And this is truth out of my mouth. There's an album that will never see the light of day. And that's all down to holding on and holding. And that's like, it will never accumulate. No one will ever hear it. And it was an album made with me, Justin Cashmere, and LG produced it. It's called Arkham. We were called Arkham Asylum. This was done around just after the first, second time round was recorded. I mean, we did video, like, never see the light of day. This is what happens if you hold on to stuff. Just put the shit out, like. And that's what we're in. We're in the age of that now. We're in the age of art, renaissance, or whatever you want to call it, where it's too hot to hold on to. Because, as they say, now is the present. It's a present. So just let it out and let everyone have it as a present, in the present. Don't hold on to some shit, bruv. Like, even though, yeah, but I'm rambling again. No, but you know what I'm saying?
There's a gems.
This is what we're here to do. This is what we're here to do. Like, our platform is for people like you, legends, to share their stories. And it's, you know, as much as it's focused on music, you've said a lot today that I feel that people can take with them along their life journey. So we appreciate you, and we love you for real. Like, for real, for real. Hip hop wouldn't sound the same without you. You're a very important part of our story. Hence why you're on our show.
Bro, thank you, man.
We salute you. And that is a gem. Encourage people to put out music, because a lot of people are, there's a lot of people out there holding on to music because they're fearful of this, that and the other. And
yeah, like, it's just like, they care about what people think. You didn't care about what anyone think when you made it, motherfucker. Nah, real shit. I don't give a fuck. Like, shit. When I did Back in Business even or whatever, it was like, you know what? Fucking put it out. Just do some shit. Like, I could die tomorrow, bruv. And then what? Is that shit just gonna sit on a hard drive? The whole point of making music is to share it. There's no rules to this thing. And people are locked up in this bullshit industry rules because this person was successful doing that thing. Yeah, that's them doing that thing. You're meant to be doing your thing.
That's a perfect note to end on, bro. That's a perfect note to end on. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's mic drop moment. Yeah. Let them do what they want to do. Do you.
Yeah. Yeah, think about what you want to do and then just do it and then wait for people. Don't like, oh, no one's listening. Then what? You just wanted to do it for people to... Bruv, I don't do it. I'm lucky and I'm thankful that people still share my shit 15 years since I put out some shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what it is. Like, I'm still literally, and I don't ask for people, I don't have press, I don't ask for people to put my stuff in this magazine, I don't rare, nothing. Thank you, everybody who's ever listened to my stuff and shared it, helped me and my family. Like, that's it. That's how it should be, organic. It came that way after a certain accumulation of just putting shit out. Listen to me and do the same. And then 15 years, people will be like, yo, but remember this album, bruv.
Mic drop.
You know?
Mic drop, bro.
Mic drop.
Parky, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you for having me, brothers. Keep doing this thing. It's wonderful what you lot are doing. I'm so gassed when I see some of the guys you've got on here, man. And it's like real shit. I was like, huh? Me? When Chris is like, oh, because you lot are killing it, bruv. See a Papoose. I'm seeing, man, bruv, did you like, sorry, this is a bit mad before I come off. Did you ever ask Papoose about Faces of Death?
No, he didn't.
Oh, man. I should have fucking, oh, man. You need to get people to ask some questions next time. Just if you have any questions, you want to ask.
We'll do an audience episode.
We'll definitely get that back. We can get Papoose back. Don't worry, we can get him back.
I ask people in future, if there's any rare questions you want to ask, we'll think about it and we'll deliberate it amongst ourselves. But
you know what? We would do that. But there's been some interviews that got delayed or didn't happen, and then we just end up looking like an idiot.
And also, the other thing, Parky, is the way I like to move in silence. I just like to drop shit, just boom. I don't like to say who we got, what we got coming up. People don't understand like how we're working behind the scenes to just create history. And I ain't trying to give up the sauce, because this sauce is seasoned in a particular way. And we know what to
Mad
do with
turmeric.
It. Right? I've done...
Mm-hmm.
Like turmeric. Man said turmeric, bro. Me, I'm a... bro, I'm a different guy, man. I'll dash the Scotch bonnet in there, bro. Raggo. My kids hate me for that shit.
Dash the Scotch bonnet. That's the one, yeah. When you're throwing Scotch bonnet, you're you've had enough. I feel you.
Fire.
Mic drop, man.
Get me. cleanse fire.
Now we appreciate you. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, guys.
A big thanks to Michael Parkinson for joining us again on the podcast. That was good, man. There were some mic droppable moments there. And not because my hands are slippery, but because he just dropped some gems. Some real gems.
Yeah, he does that. I've had the privilege of just chilling with Parky. Like, I've been to his home. You know, we've taken trips to the shop together, and like I said, you know, in terms of music and stuff, he's my big brother, bro. I give him that title. Him, Kaiser, T1, they're like my musical family. K Knight, you know, important people. Parky's one of them.
I'm really glad that we got to speak to him and to give him his flowers, but also give him a platform to spread that knowledge to all of our listeners who listen from across the globe. I think that's very important, because
true.
We have a lot of people who
Good
are
point.
Producers, writers, managers, publicists, legends who listen to the podcast. And I think it's very important that they hear a voice, a credible voice from where we are and where we live. And so that's something they can relate to, just to show how global this thing is. And that's very important. So once again, appreciate you hooking that up.
Definitely. No worries, man. And I want to issue a warning. If anyone out there attempts to stop Parky from feeding his family,
I feel sorry for you. I don't care who it is, innit? Just don't fuck with another person's... Just don't fuck with anyone. Let's just start there. Let's start very simply there. And then, you know, their loved ones, it goes a given. Fuck faces, man. Some people just don't have... I think sometimes it's kind of what Parky was saying about the industry. People get caught up in things, and people get bought into a lifestyle or a certain lifestyle they think they have to uphold, and it's not the case. It's a cloth. There's something, you know, this is a lived experience for many people. This is a culture for many people. So
some people are tailor-made.
Yeah.
And some people just follow suit. Pun intended. Bars.
I like that. That's straight bars. I know you stole it from Parky, because...
No, yeah. It's from...
I'm kidding. I'm fucking with you.
No, it's from Fonte. It's from Fonte.
Appreciate Fonte, innit? Love him and that. Sorry and that. As always, you can follow us on the Breaking Atoms podcast on social media at Break the Atoms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Chris, his personal is at I Am Kinetic. Mine's at Hip Hop Chronicle. You know we're back next week with more episodes. Until then, peace.
I ain't got nothing else to say, bro.